Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza. Show's off to a good start today. I got the day of the week right. So
yeah, it's Thursday.
Yeah, good I didn't job. Do that yesterday.
No, you did not.
Did not have the day of the week right yesterday.
Yeah.
But today, we're perfect from the field today, yes, Sat. Okay?
Good start.
We're like Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter, okay?
Just unstoppable. Everything goes in.
Everything is going in, although it didn't feel that way on the golf course this morning.
Oh, well, that's okay. So that's why you started the show positive. You wanted to have one win to start the show.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much. All right. Yeah. King's Links, man. I mean, the wind, it'll just get you over
there. Did it get you? Was the wind?
It's like you got to three club up. It's like, what's going on?
It can blow there. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
So the wind was the problem.
Yeah, the wind is definitely the problem in my golf game.
Well, now that Ben is back, you can get tips from Ben and he can help you out again.
King's Links is a good test.
Yeah, it's a good test.
It's
deceiving.
We'll test your mental game.
Yeah, it's not that long. It's like, need a lot of gallery drops. Like, the ball was right here. Now it's not.
No.
All right. We got a lot to get to today as we continue to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Really another interesting night of games. Stars and Leafs getting a couple of wins. Bill Armstrong, Utah Mammoth general manager, is going to join us coming up after 4:30. And we will continue to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Sean Reynolds is going to join us covering the Winnipeg series off of their first loss. And of course, actually Sean Reynolds is at 4:30 and Bill Armstrong will be up at 5 for today's show. So let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, it's the Open on Canuck Central where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks continue to go through their process of hiring the next head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And per Irv Kafar, the Canucks interviewed Marco Sturm today, who's been the head coach of the Ontario Reign for the last three seasons. Marco Sturm was not a name on many people's radar until brought up by Irfan Gafar here.
Yeah, it's a guy. He's a guy who is well thought of.
Yeah.
In some circles and has been known as being a candidate. I know his name has come up in previous times too. Last time the Sharks were going through their process, so he's a guy that is one of the next up and coming guys potentially. And I know there's some reaction to, well, why are you talking to more inexperienced coaches? Well, there's no guarantee Manny would take the job. And that's not to say that Manny doesn't want to be the Canucks head coach. It doesn't mean that he won't be an NHL head coach or be the Canucks head coach, but he's currently coaching the Abbotsford team. Does he feel like he needs more time in the AHL? Could another destination be more appealing? These are things you don't know yet, right? So you can't guarantee it. So I think you're doing your due diligence, but based on what Irv has said, it's interesting because Sturm is the type of guy that seems to really want a head coaching job. And I think enthusiasm matters here for the Canucks.
Well, they just kind of got dumped by their person of choice in Rick Tocchet, right? Who clearly had other things on his checklist that mattered to him as far as where he wants to be a head coach moving forward, because, you know, his was reported today he was a finalist for the Anaheim gig and is now being courted by the Boston Bruins potentially. Obviously, Philly is still on that radar. So we'll see what happens there. But I can understand how, from the Canucks' perspective, you know, you want somebody that's going to really want the job in the job moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that matters because of what you mentioned with Tocchet.
Yeah.
And also, listen, I don't know where Foot is at and where Malhotra is at. And, you know, the Canucks want to give Manny his space because he's coaching the Abbey team and they pulled off a big win
Huge win.
So now
big winning goal from Kudryavtsev.
Massive
empty netter from my boy Phil DiGiuseppe.
So you know,
still scoring big goals,
helping
big
ice,
moments,
helping them ice that game. So it's like there are a lot of things they're just letting it kind of go by. But I think somebody that truly is excited about the opportunity, and I think most people would be, but I think somebody that sees the potential here, right, and feels like they can come in here and really help the team go in the right direction, not somebody that's like, okay, well, I'm taking this job because I'm a veteran who needs the job, I'm not sure I want this necessarily, I'm not sure I believe in this roster. Like, can they find somebody that truly believes in this roster?
Yeah, too? And it's kind of silly that people think or anybody has the take of like, oh, why are they interviewing this guy? It's like, what? But do you not want them to go through the process of like actually going through the process of trying to find a proper head coach?
Well, you're supposed
it's kind of what you're supposed to do, is it not?
Well, you also learn things when you interview people. You learn things about like their organizations, how they think, you know, what's going on. Like you get a
He's with the LA Kings organization, with the Ontario Reign, their NHL team.
So you learn certain things, and you also learn about trends potentially and what the thinking is, you know how some people operate versus others. Like it's if you have a chance to gather information and speak to intelligent coaches, you should take that opportunity, right? So I think you have to be careful with even like a guy like Bellucci I mentioned yesterday, even a guy like Todd Nelson. Maybe you talk to those guys. I'm not sure I consider them legitimate candidates at this time. Mm-hmm. Maybe that changes, but I don't view those guys as being that. I'm not sure where Marcus Sturm's ranks in that regard, but if they talk to him if they talk to him next week, when they want to do in-person interviews, I think that would be a pretty good indication of how serious they are.
Yeah. Right now, they're still in the initial phases of this whole process. And I don't think it's... I mean, Captain Obvious, this is kind of a big deal, getting this whole coaching thing right, given everything that's at stake here for the Vancouver Canucks and everything that is ahead for this team with their captain, Quinn Hughes, and how you need to portray a better future than the one that they have just portrayed this past season. And going through an expansive process and making sure you get the right person is definitely of the utmost importance here.
Yeah, and I think ultimately it's about getting the right guy. And I think it's interesting because we hear so much reaction to this guy, that guy. None of us really know.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us really know until somebody gets into that job and how they handle it. We hear this a lot about first-time coaches and how you can look at a guy and say, man, I see all the indicators that this person's going to be a really good head coach. And then they get into the job and you're trying to coach NHL players.
Yeah.
It's a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. Some people can handle it, some can't. Like it's not as simple as just projecting somebody to be a good head coach. Like it's one of those things like prospects that get into the NHL.
Yeah.
You know, you can rank a guy really high. He has all the tools, but can he actually play there? You mm-hmm. know, so I think sometimes you don't know until you put a guy into that position. And that's what makes it intriguing going with a first time head coach. But there's also a lot of risk because you can just as easily get the wrong guy, a guy that can never get the ear of the team. And I think ultimately experience matters in that regard for the team. But as far as the experienced candidates go, like I don't see Laviolette being the guy that's going to be coaching here. Even Jay Woodcroft, I'm not quite sure he's going to be a guy either. So when you go through the list, like, okay, Derek Lalonde, we haven't heard him tied to Vancouver. Could that be of interest? But I haven't heard that yet. Could it be quiet perhaps? But who knows? Ducharme would be the other guy who's had some success. It ended badly, but usually it ends badly for coaches.
Yes.
But ultimately, how many of those guys do you feel like in their next opportunity they're going to be any better than a first-time head coach?
It's questionable, right? But ultimately, like, I look at this and getting the right guy for the job, and Tockett was the right guy for the job in the perfect moment for the Vancouver Canucks.
He was,
Coming off of where Bruce was, and to be fair to Bruce, he was kind of the perfect guy in that moment for where the Canucks were.
If
it was just interim, that would have been perfect for the rest of that season, but it lasted too long.
You know, he would be, you know what Bruce is? He'd be like a caretaker manager, like they do in
he's
soccer.
Like Sam Allardyce.
Yeah,
you know?
Sam Allardyce.
Nobody listening to this show is going to get that reference.
Or Goose Hiddink, somebody like that, somebody that comes in and they know their job is just to shepherd you to the finish line, and then somebody else takes over afterwards. Like that's what Bruce would be good at. Like the rest is like, no, you want to get somebody else in or whatever, right? But it does matter. But and it's going to be intriguing. And I think, you know, for all the hand wringing about this guy, that guy, none of us are really going to know. Yeah. But based on everything that we can gather from the outside and the candidates that are available, if Manny truly is excited about the job and wants the job, he's probably the safest one to go with.
Yes.
Because of the familiarity, it doesn't mean that I think Manny's going to be the best head coach and that the Canucks should run up and hire him. But if I look at the opportunities and the pros and cons of everyone involved, I'd rather take the swing on Manny,
yeah,
right? But ultimately, again, like, he has a say in all this.
Mm-hmm. Does he feel it's the right time for him to take this kind of a position? Because you may only get one crack at your first head coaching gig in the National Hockey League. So you want it to be the right one for you. And that's got to, you know, really, yeah, you got to put a lot of thought into that.
Well, yeah, and you know, this is the thing, and this is why we talk about how Tocchet leaving is not a good look for mm-hmm. the team, right? Because it shows, especially if he does actually end up signing with a team in the West, it shows it wasn't about West Coast. It wasn't about, it was about, he yeah. ultimately didn't believe in where the team was going.
If he goes to Seattle, that is going to be a gut punch of all gut punches.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that show?
A tough look.
That shows more than anything that you don't believe in the direction.
Yeah.
Now, you can be pessimistic about that and say, well, what does that tell you about the job Rutherford and Alvina are going to do? If this guy didn't believe in them, like, what do you feel about? But that's where having somebody that's aligned matters.
Yes.
You know, whether you think it's going to work out or not, whether you feel like Rutherford is going to pull it off or not. And, you know, the public opinion on management has changed, at least in terms of our, you know, feedback channel.
Basically,
right?
Been a complete 180 from where it was 12 months ago.
Exactly. So, I mean, and you can be fair criticizing because of where the team finds itself, right? When you have struggles, it's fair to criticize anybody in the organization. At the same time, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think if you're here, you still have to hire somebody that can be aligned and believe in your vision.
Yeah.
And it's hard after you move on, when a guy moved on from you,
mm-hmm.
and seemingly because, I want to say misalignment, I think that would be assuming things that we can't really speak to.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, Vancouver wasn't for him.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to find somebody that would look at Vancouver and say, hey, like, I really believe in what we can accomplish here.
It's such a big part of it. And finding the right guy in the right moment is ultimately what it comes down to. Because a lot of these coaches, I mean, the X's and O's of the game at the highest level, they're not all that different. You know, mm-hmm. there's some systematical tweaks and points of emphasis, those kinds of things. But ultimately, most teams play pretty similar hockey.
The most important thing, honestly, is making sure you have buy-in.
Yeah.
You know, the rest, like, if you have the right assistants, like, you can figure this stuff out. Can you get buy-in?
Yeah.
And buy-in comes from people believing in what you're presenting, ultimately.
And, you know, I look at the job Craig Berube has done with the Maple Leafs. And people had a lot of questions about Berube when he first got into the job. You know, I pretty much said it from day one that, you know, he's going to bring a proper brand of hockey. And Sheldon Keefe he wasn't a disaster because you look at his regular season record and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he couldn't keep his cool. He was losing it on the bench. You saw the Amazon series. You brought it up in the past. The Amazon series where he's just, like, lambasting the team.
Well, he's like, do you guys think you're any good? It's like, well, like, why are you putting doubt in their minds? I remember Kelly Rudy brought this up. It's like,
yeah,
why are you making them doubt themselves?
Yes. And for a team that's, like, constantly come up short in big moments, right? And I just look at Berube and how, you know, everybody's talking about the savvy meter and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, what's Berube doing on the bench? Nothing. He's like stone-faced all the time. You know, he wants his team to keep even keel. What do we always hear coaches say? You can't get too high, you can't get too low. And your coach is an extension of the team. You don't want to be yelling at referees ad nauseum because that filters into the mindset of your group. You don't want them to feel panicked because you're clearly panicked in the moment. Those are things that I think are very valuable. I look at some of the things that Berube's done when the Leafs had a 5-on-3 against Ottawa. They scored 3 seconds after the next faceoff. Yeah. It's clearly a drawn up play, right? You know, those kinds of the timeout when they went down to 4-3 when Florida was storming back in the last game after the Stolarz injury. The way he talks to the media, you know, he doesn't say much, but that's kind of what you need in a big market, especially in a Canadian market where you don't want to give people too much to chew on.
Yeah.
Now, that sucks for us. I get it.
But
it's one of the things I loved about Tocchet.
Yeah, but your job isn't to please the media.
No,
right?
It's not.
Yeah.
it's probably better that you don't give media and fans a lot to chew on with your after practice talks and after game talks. And I Berube is the perfect example of how the right coach at the right time can make a significant difference for a team, because the Leafs under Berube have looked better than they have at any stage of the Matthews-Marner era.
And they play proper hockey.
Yes,
you know, like we talk about this, and ultimately...
Well, they buy into the defensive side of the puck. They're blocking more shots. They give up fewer shots. They do a lot of good things on the defensive side.
But they've also finally added the personnel to allow them to do those things too.
Right. You know, Tanevs like, of the world. Yeah.
Like it's not, you know, like we always talked about their team, especially under Dubas and how talented they were, but there was a clear disconnect between guys who can play proper roles versus just having the most talented group of players. And now they have a team like, you know, and this isn't to say Trey Living's the best. Like it's a lot easier coming to a situation like the Leafs where you have the foundation they already have.
Yes.
Right. But what he's done is round them out to make them a team that can play the way you need to play to have success. And this isn't even philosophical. It's just a reality of playoff hockey, like in reality of having successful teams throughout regular seasons too. You have to have good details.
Yeah.
And if you don't have details, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And one thing you can control is your details. So if you don't have talent, if your details are straight, you're a competitive team.
Yeah. And that's where buy-in comes in. Benny from the Mox, bleep the Leafs, they'll still blow it to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's still very possible. Florida's a very good hockey team.
For sure.
Series hasn't changed until somebody loses a home game.
But to your point, you talk about the importance of finding the right guy. You need to find the right guy and the right fit.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most important thing. And if you're hiring a first-time coach, it's a bit of a roulette,
mm-hmm.
you know, role. But you kind of... That's kind of where you're at, you know, like because again, like I look at the established coaches. There isn't a Berube.
Yeah,
there isn't a Tocchet. Well, there is Tocchet, but he's not coming here.
Yeah, no, he's clearly not coming
right?
here. He chose not to be.
And even Tocchet, like, you know, it is funny because, you know, Tocchet won the Jack Adams and we've spoken very highly of him. But it's not like he was perfect. And you listen to the postgame shows. We talked a lot about certain things they could have done better. And, you know, obviously there's things that you can improve as a coach. But ultimately, he got the buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most important thing. And to me, if you pass that threshold, that's what matters. But who can you look at amongst the candidates that you believe can demand buy-in day one? I'm not sure one exists that you feel certain about.
Yeah, There isn't one out there that you can possibly be 100% on. That's the tough thing about this. The first-time coaches, the thing I worry about with first-time coaches is when adversity hits, how do you handle it, and do you tighten up too much? And then again, that filters over to the team.
Exactly. And honestly, it's again, like, you know, we can talk about coaching and it can be overrated. It really can be, as far as the, you know, to your point, tweaks that some coaches have different philosophies, but it's not day and night. They're very similar.
Carolina's probably the team that plays the most unique style of hockey in the entire league.
Yeah, and on defensively, there's some teams that play more zone, that play more man. Offensively, some forechecks a bit more aggressive than others. Some teams are stay back a bit more, but it's really not significantly different. Now, on breakouts, some coaches have different rules or whatever, but you're not going from one team to another and being confounded about how these guys play hockey. You know, like you can figure it out pretty quickly. That's because things have a lot of overlap. So to me, it comes down to just make sure you don't get a guy that the team is going to be out on right away.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You know, I don't need you to go find the next Jack Adams winner necessarily. Just make sure you don't hire the wrong guy. That's the most important thing here.
Let's get to the playoff central roundup. Mikko Rantanen continues to dominate in the playoffs. He was pretty good last night. Natural hat trick. He's been pretty good ever since game five against the Colorado Avalanche. Stars took a 1-0 series victory. Sheldon from Surrey saying Mikko and his performance overshadowed what Jake Oettinger was able to do in that game.
Yeah, although, I mean, it was a Mikko Rantanen show.
Yeah. He's pretty good. The Moose
really
is pretty
good. And what the Stars are just, even with the injuries they have, I know the Jets have some injuries too and whatnot, but I don't know. They're pretty good, man. They're pretty good.
To be able to do this without Miro Heiskanen, not many teams can survive like this without their number one defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they also have Thomas Harley, which helps, but, you know, to lose a Miro Heiskanen, not many teams could survive that. The Stars have done really well to be able to in this moment. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because obviously you can see how the right winger can make a pretty big difference in your top six, but Canucks really still do need a centerman.
They do. But ultimately, to me, it's I'm very much a believer in elite talent.
Yeah.
And obviously, you have to have guys that have to be right fits, but who do you think is going to make a bigger impact for your team, Josh Norris or Mikko Rantanen?
Yeah, it's Mikko Rantanen.
Right? And are you able to get a center at a caliber higher or better than Josh Norris this offseason? Maybe, but that's probably the ballpark you're looking at. I'm not saying you're getting Norris, but
yeah.
I think that caliber of player is probably what you're landing if you're landing somebody.
Yeah.
And if, again, like I'd rather do Rantanen.
You're probably looking for somebody that you can foresee a breakout coming in that player.
Yes.
Because if the breakout's already happened, chances are that player's not available.
No, exactly, right? So, and again, like guys like Rantanen don't become available unless they do, like yeah. they did, right? But very
well,
seldom.
Well, when they're close to unrestricted free agency. Yeah, really, that's the only time they might become available.
And I've thought about this a lot, and, you know, philosophically, like, if you look at it just from a philosophical standpoint, Marner, I would go after Marner,
yeah.
but he's just probably not getting there. No. He probably just doesn't want to come here,
I mean,
right?
Jim Rutherford himself said free agents don't want to come here.
And
so.
I think that, yeah, so I think that's part of the problem here, right? But I think, in general, we get caught up in position sometimes, but it's like, if a guy of that caliber is available and you have a chance to get him, go get him. Even if you may need something else, like, nothing makes a bigger difference. Like, you don't have Miro Heiskanen, but guess what? You have Rantanen.
Yeah.
And that's why you're on to the second round, or perhaps even on to the conference final.
So Stars took game one. Oilers and Knights got game two going tonight. Carolina, Washington underway in game two of their series. You can watch on Sportsnet. Abbotsford took game three. Nathan Smith, Kiro Kudryavtsev, and Phil DiGiuseppe scored the goals for Abby. Artur Shilov's played really well. I don't think Abbey had their first shot on net until the 15-minute mark of the first period, and Shilov's was able to weather the storm long enough for them to find their legs. Yeah. So impressive from Shilov's, who has needed to have a big, big moment. You know, he's had a couple of off games in the playoffs too, mm-hmm. but he's had some really good starts mixed in there as well.
Well, he has been better in the AHL.
Yeah.
It's good to see. It's promising, right? And you want to see him be able to take... Mm-hmm. another step, but I think
build
that's
some confidence.
Yeah,
got to build some confidence. And big news in SoCal is Joel Quenneville was hired by the Ducks in what was probably the top available job, I think, by most people's estimation. Like, if you have visions of winning in the next 3 to 5 years,
it's the Ducks
have a pretty good setup right now for you to take over.
Yeah. And, you know, the biggest question is, it's just going to be Joel Quenneville.
Yeah, of course.
That's really what it's going to be about, right?
And it's not about his hockey credentials. We all know that those are pretty good. But from a leadership standpoint, you know, there was a lot left to be desired from what happened in Chicago, to say the least. And the details of that are not great. They're pretty gruesome. He's taken a long time to get another chance at head coaching. You have to hope that what they say is true, that he's done the work and is worthy of getting a second chance here in this moment with the Ducks.
He said he was talking about the work he's done
yeah.
in an interview that was posted. And
with the Ducks podcast.
And
yeah.
he was trying to say, you know, I'm not going to say he said all the right things, because that's not for me to say, but he was trying to say the right things, right?
Yeah.
We know that the John Doe did release a statement from their side condemning the signing, so mm-hmm. to speak, right? We have heard, of course, from the Beach side that has supported Quenneville as well, so you're getting a bit of both from mm-hmm. both people involved here. Ultimately, I've always said this, I think in general I'm for giving people another chance.
Yeah,
we don't have all the info on the work he did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have all the info on, you know, on things of that nature, for instance, but
yeah.
in general, and if you listen to me over the years, I'm always for giving people another chance. You have to pay a price, you have to do the time.
Mm-hmm.
All those things, if you have to pay a price for it, but I'm for people getting a second chance. But in this situation, given everything that happened, I totally understand people that don't want to see him behind an NHL bench.
4 years since he was taken out of the Florida job, given what happened in Chicago all those years ago. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah coming up. Sean Reynolds is going to join us. Sportsnet's reporter covering the Winnipeg Jets. How do they recover from their game one loss? How do they find some solutions for Mikko Rantanen? That's next on Canuck Central.